Today on Real Radio.
I praise the Lord that in this church, God has not had division. And I believe as long as we are a praying church, we will not have division. As long as the word is preeminent and it is something that we are seeking to obey, we won't have division. There's the division that comes from men. The Bible shows us that causes great heartache and great travail and great injury. Then there's the division that comes from God that God will implement that brings great healing. And we're going to see the difference this morning. So I know that for some of you, this is a touchy thing, but I want you to listen up carefully as we go through this, because it's how the Lord has prepared this message.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands. Let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his verse-by-verse series through the book of Acts. We arrive at chapter 14, where the gospel continues to be preached in the synagogues to both Jews and Gentiles. Of course, this causes a great deal of division. Now, does causing division seem like the work of God? The answer is yes, as we'll see in this presentation taken from the first 10 verses of chapter 14, called When God Causes Division. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs.
Now it happened in Iconium that they went together to the synagogue of the Jews and so spoke that a great multitude, both of the Jews and of the Greeks, believed. But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and poisoned their minds against the brethren. Therefore they stayed there a long time, speaking boldly in the Lord, who was bearing witness to the word of his grace and granting signs and wonders to be done by their hands. But the multitude of the city was divided. Part sided with the Jews and part sided with the apostles. And when a violent attempt was made by both the Gentiles and the Jews with their rulers to abuse and to stone them, they became aware of it and fled to Lystra and Derbe, cities of Lycaonia, and to the surrounding region. And they were preaching the gospel there. And in Lystra, a certain man without strength in his feet was sitting, a crippled, from his mother's womb, who had never walked. This man heard Paul speaking, and Paul, observing him intently and seeing that he had faith to be healed, said to him with a loud voice, "Stand up straight on your feet." And he leaped and he walked. This morning, the title of the message is When God Causes Division. This morning, when my wife asked me, "What's the title of the message today?" I said, "When God Causes Division." And she said, "Well, I don't know if I'm going to go today. That sounds pretty strange." And when we mention the word division, automatically in our hearts, we think, oh, that's scary. Division. I had a family after service tell me that they really needed this service today because they had just gone through their family last night suffering a great division. There are people who've come from churches who have been wounded or hurt because there's been division. The Bible speaks throughout the scripture that God warns us that there will be division among the workings of God. Jesus, this is bizarre, but Jesus, who pastored a church of 12 guys, in the midst of that little church, there was one who brought about division by the name of Judas Iscariot. In fact, remember when Jesus was in the garden, Judas came up to give him a kiss on the cheek to reveal who it was in that dark garden that the Roman guard should take. And Jesus whispered in his ear, he said, "Judas, is it with a kiss that you betray the Son of Man?" Division. But I want to lay something on you that is not normally thought of, and we're going to see it today in Scripture, that God causes often there to be a division. And that's not normal to our thinking. We think of division as always being a negative thing. And I understand where you're coming from. I praise the Lord that in this church, God has not had division. And I believe as long as we are a praying church, we will not have division. As long as the word is preeminent and it is something that we are seeking to obey, we won't have division. There's the division that comes from men. The Bible shows us that causes great heartache and great travail and great injury. Then there's the division that comes from God that God will implement that brings great healing. And we're going to see the difference this morning. So I know that for some of you, this is a touchy thing. But I want you to listen up carefully as we go through this, because it's how the Lord has prepared this message. In your notes, you ought to jot down right now, in your thinking, remember this, a radical statement Jesus said. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 10, verse 32, "Whoever confesses me before men, I will confess before my Father. And whoever denies me before men, him will I also deny before my Father who is in heaven. Do not think that I have come to bring peace on the earth. I did not come to bring peace to the earth, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's enemies will be those of his own house." Isn't that a strange verse? Wait a minute, Jack, I thought he's called the Prince of Peace. He is called the Prince of Peace, and he is the Prince of Peace. So what's the problem here? Well, there's no problem at all. The fact of the matter is God very often brings division. And we're talking about today the division that is takes place when people make a decision for Jesus Christ. In our text that we're studying this morning, there are those who will come to faith. They walk into a synagogue in this particular narrative, or for you it might be a church. You just come to check it out. Maybe somebody has bribed you with brunch afterwards, so you'll come. And you're sitting here and you're thinking, and don't be surprised that by the end of the message you might join those like last service who've made decisions for Christ. You find out you need Jesus in your life. He's not this religious crazy man that you thought all along. He's absolutely real, and he's not religious at all. He's the divine creator of the universe, and he's your God, and he's made you. And you come to faith in him, and you choose him. That is, you receive him. You experience eternal life. And you know what happens when that goes on in your life? You wind up going home, or you wind up going to your family at Thanksgiving or at Easter or at Christmas, and you say, "Hey, family, I've accepted Jesus. It's the greatest thing that's ever happened." And you notice people kind of step backward. And then you get like a little fish sticker on your car or something, and they go, "What are you, some kind of a freak? What's gotten into you?" "Holy Spirit." "Oh, not for us, pal. None of that stuff." Listen, it causes division. Just the name of Jesus causes things to happen. Paul and Barnabas are going to go into this place and deliver the word of God, and things are going to change. And it's going to change for the better. But there are those who will fight the change, and we have them in our lives, in our homes. Maybe we're even married to people who will not receive. But Jesus said when the gospel comes to a home, it will divide a mother-in-law against a daughter-in-law. It will divide a father with his son. We've seen that happen. When people accept the Lord, they go home and they tell their family, they tell their mom and dad, and they say, "I've accepted the Lord, man. I've been freed from my sin. I've got life. I've got hope. I've been healed from drugs. I've been liberated." And the parent's response is, "Get out of this house." Unbelievable stuff. All because Jesus comes into a life. There's that division. There's that war. It reminds me of a story of a little boy. Three little boys, they're arguing about whose daddy can beat up the other daddy. And they're fighting back and forth. And this one guy goes, "Well, my daddy can beat up your daddy." And they're going back and forth. And this one boy walks up and he goes, the two boys turn to him and they say, "Well, our daddy can beat up your daddy." And he goes, "Well, that's nothing. My mama can beat up my daddy." Division in the home. When Jesus comes into your life, like we'd say in the children's ministry, for realsies, there's a big change. Things happen. I want to prime this study by giving you a couple of verses. Before I give these couple of verses, I want to give you this one up front. If you're a Christian this morning, Jesus has said this to us in John chapter 17, verse 11, just before he ascended into heaven. Jesus says, Father, he's praying to the Father. He says, "I am no longer in the world, but these are in the world. I do not pray for you to take them out of the world, Father, but that you should keep them from the evil one." That is from the workings of Satan. Jesus has his heart's desire upon you that you would spread the good news of Jesus Christ, like Paul and Barnabas we're going to see here in a moment. And here's the verses I want you to jot down. When God causes division, how can that be even so? In John chapter 7, verse 43, Scripture says there, "So there was a great division among all the people because of Jesus." Because of Jesus. In John 9:16, the Bible says, "Therefore some of the Pharisees said," listen to this, "this man is not from God because he doesn't keep the Sabbath. But the other people said, how can this man be a sinner and do such signs?" And there was great division among them all. When Jesus comes into the scene, people, there's going to be a split, so to speak. There are people who want to follow him, and there's people who don't want to follow him. There are those who want to play religious games, and there are those who really need him. And there'll be a division. In John chapter 10, verse 19, Jesus said, "There, when he ended his teaching, there was a great division among the Jews because some of them said that this man has a demon, and why should you listen to him? But others said, these are not the words of a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind?" And there was great division. Are you with me? God causes division. You want to know why? Because they're fence sitters. There's people who like to sit on the fence. The Bible declares there's people who come into church, they're wolves and they're dressed up in sheep's clothing. They're not for real. There are people who want to have one foot in the world, do all the stuff that the world's got to offer, and another foot in church. And on Sunday, gosh, they look angelic. But on Monday, they're out doing their old thing again, and they're living two lives. It's a double life. And they think they're going to go to heaven. And God, all the while, is saying, you can't live like this. This is not good for you. I've got a better life for you. You're deceiving yourselves. And God will send into your life something that will cause you to experience, listen, division even in your own heart. You will be brought out from the life that you're living to follow Jesus, or you'll go the other way. Listen, Jesus said in the book of Revelation, "I wish you were hot, or I wish that you were cold, but because you're lukewarm, you make me want to vomit." Heavy. The word is spew in the old King James, which girls spew when they, what's the word? Hurl. Girls spew. The word, when Jesus says spew in the old King James, it's not spew, it's what guys do. It's the word barf. I don't know how else to put it. Jesus said, because you're a fence walker, you make me just want to heave my guts up. And we can't picture Jesus like that because he's so awesome and so precious and so forgiving and loving. But he will not tolerate hypocrisy. And so I tell you all this because we're coming up against something in the scripture this morning where God will not tolerate hypocrisy and generate a division. Mark this down in your notes or in your heart. When man causes division, there is left behind broken hearts, bruised hearts, and bleeding hearts, and a worn-out life. When God causes division, there's refreshing, renewal, there's healing and restoration, and that life becomes productive. Dwight L. Moody said a pastor must first be willing to empty a church for what is right before God can fill it with what is good. So we have to be careful that we don't become pleasers. And watch what happens here, starting at verse 1. Now it happened in Iconium that they went together to the synagogue, that's Paul and Barnabas, of the Jews, and so spoke that a great multitude of the Jews and of the Greeks believed. That's great. Look at verse 3. But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and poisoned their minds against the brethren. This word means right here in the first three verses that Paul came up, spoke, and people went, hot dog, man, this Bible study is not so boring. This guy's making sense. I can understand what he's saying. I can apply this to my life. And so they made a decision. A lot of the Jewish people in that community, a lot of the Gentiles in that community, they heard the truth and they made a decision. By the way, verse 1, note it. It says that they so spoke that many people came to Christ. The word implies that they spoke with a conviction and with a power. They believed what they were speaking. They weren't telling stories. And people knew that. People could discern, man, what these guys are saying is real. And it's real in their lives. And so when that message came forward, decisions were made. And wouldn't you think that the religious hierarchy, the Jewish leaders would say, all right, great, church is growing, kick out the walls, let's get more pews. Absolutely not. Just like last week we saw, they became angry and bitter. And it says in verse 2, that they began to stir up the Gentiles. This word in the Greek, stir up, means to agitate or to rock. The word means to topple over just when something was to be set up. They were brand new believers just getting their new believers packet. They had just come forward at the crusade. They were just ready, all excited. And right then and there, these guys came in and ripped them off. Stirred them up, began to agitate, and poisoned the minds. The word in the Greek poison means to actually make toxic. They made their minds and their hearts bitter. The word means to exasperate or to falter. They messed them up. These religious guys came in. You've seen them, haven't you? Brand new believer, praising the Lord, all fired up. Well, what's going on? I'm a new believer. And we got into it last week, how they would just bring you down. They did that to these guys, and they began to dry up. Jesus told us that when God wants to do a work, he'll use new wineskins with new wine. He says if you take a brand new wine and put it into an old wineskin, now a wineskin is made out of animal skins in Israel, and what you would do, you had to have a brand new wineskin to put brand new wine in and seal it up, because as it would ferment, it could handle the gases and the heat that's taking place as it ferments. And what would happen, though, that new wine would become old wine, but it was okay because it was in old skins. The skin would begin to take shape and become brittle. And you could use it like a pitcher. But if you went and put brand new wine into that wineskin, it would explode that old skin. Jesus said, whenever God wants to do a work, he's going to do a new work with new people who have a new heart and a new mindset, because the old rigid way will not work. It can't handle it. That's why Del Taco did that commercial. Same place. You know, same this, same that, because we can't stand change. God introduces change and we go, wait a minute. And we want to fight it. Listen, I praise God that my God, though he's the same yesterday, today, and forever in his character, he's constantly changing things in my life. My Christianity is never boring. This has nothing to do with the Bible study, but tell you how not unboring it is. Monday, we were heading up to Southern Oregon for a church business that led us up there. And we were on an airplane ride of our lives. And if we were going to go golfing, which I don't do, any of you golf, I just think that's the neatest thing in the world, but I've never had a club in my hand. I don't know what it would be like. It looks like fun. But if we would have been going to Oregon to golf, it would have been a smooth flight. But because we were going up there for church business, we got caught in a wind shear at 1,200 feet above the ground. We thought we were going to go in. The pilot couldn't even get the plane on the ground. It was that bad of a storm. And we wound up landing some other place. Thought we were going to die. Sat there seriously. And I'm thinking, God, am I ready? And it goes through your mind. And I checked all that. Yeah, I'm ready. I'm at your mercy, Lord. You know, this baby's going down. Opposition. Hearts being tested. Are you sure? Man, this thing comes in your life and it's like, yikes! You need to make sure that what you're believing in is true. And are you true in relation to it? Their minds got stirred up. They poisoned their hearts and their minds. Verse 3 says, and you ought to circle this, it's precious. Verse 3 says, therefore they stayed. That is, Paul and Barnabas stayed there a long time, speaking boldly in the Lord, who was bearing witness to the word. That is, the words that they were teaching, the word of God, of his grace, granting signs and wonders being done by their hands. Why did Paul and Barnabas stay a long time in this place? The word therefore in verse 3 tells you that's the reason why. I like J. Vernon McGee, the old guy on the radio. He goes, the reason why it's therefore is because it's there for a reason. And the reason is verses 1 and 2. Because there was opposition, because these religious guys were trying to rip off the real guys. Doesn't that sound like so-called Christian TV today? Because the false guys were trying to rip off the real guys, Paul and Barnabas stayed in town and set things straight. It's called discipleship, people. It's called follow-up. And we need it bad. When somebody accepts Jesus Christ, we need to make sure that they're okay. Brand new baby. We had that precious baby this morning, Isaiah, and we're holding him. And you're not going to lay him down and let him fend for himself. You got to pick him up and nurse him. When a person accepts Jesus Christ, you don't go to church, accept Christ, and then go back into the world. You die. You need to be nursed by the Holy Spirit. You need to have the Word of God put into your life, or else you're not going to make it. That's why you and I bump into people who say, well, I tried Christianity, nothing happened. Well, all you have to do is ask them, did you get committed to a study? Did you read the Bible? Did you pray and seek the Lord? No. Well, no wonder why it didn't work. It's a life. It is a relationship. It's not a joke. And these precious believers were getting ripped off by these guys. So Paul and Barnabas stayed behind to help them out, to make sure that they'll grow and be strong in the Lord. And that's very good. Look at verse 4. But the multitude of the city was, here it is, divided. Some of them parted with the Jews and some of them parted with the apostles. There's a division. When God speaks, people experience division. We've mentioned this last week. I don't want to belabor the point, but you can mention any other religious leader in the world and nothing happens. You mention Jesus and people get divided right off the bat. Wherever he is, there's a choice that has to be made. The fact is, if Jesus Christ is brought up, how is it that division takes place in a sanctuary or an auditorium or at work?
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a presentation called When God Causes Division, a look at the first 10 verses of the book of Acts, chapter 14. We'll continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio with more. Now that we're approaching Thanksgiving and Christmas and certainly the end of the year, we'd like to remind you about an event that takes place here at Calvary Chapel Chino Hills in January. It's called the Southern California Bible Prophecy Conference. Now that's just around the corner. Of course, you undoubtedly have other things on your mind during the holidays, but we'd just like you to pay a brief visit to SoCalProphecyConference.com. SoCalProphecyConference.com. It's quite informative. Pastor Jack gives a brief video presentation wherein he tells you more about the event, including the amazing lineup of speakers. Pretty rare to have this many of this caliber all in one event. SoCalProphecyConference.com. It is a ticketed event. You must register for it. And it's a mere $25 per person for the 3 days. SoCalProphecyConference.com. You can also call us toll-free, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. If you'd like to make a contribution to the ongoing work of Real Radio, here's our address. Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Again, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is made possible by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs has been made possible by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.